Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I'm joined by Van Gelda and a returning Fred who we haven't had on this podcast in quite a few months. And for those who are listening on audio, your man, they show some fake champions. I don't know, champions of what? Me, I don't understand.
Number 20, you know the man. You don't know this.
You want me to show you the front.
I don't know, we know the look.
Your man, they demand by first guard of honor. You know, there's new season come. Everybody knows a guard of honor. If new season come, it expires. So, no fault, you don't come here since your team win the title. Now, in the new season, whatever new happened people. Is in the past. Forward ever, backward ever.
My team win the league. You stop the invite me come. You would like since my team win the league, right? And the guys, I see Smiley forget my number. Hey, those days, Swan or Smiley could call me because we not see Liverpool make shaky. Right? I will win the thing. You could go the high from me. The guard of honor, you people say you know go take him here. You know.
Right now, Smiley, make we just give him two clap. Make him like it. Just two clap.
One, two. Anyway, today we have a loaded episode, so let's just jump right into it. And there's no better place to start than at Anfield today, where Liverpool beat Arsenal 1-0 in a clash between last season's top two. Right now, it seems like at the moment that's the biggest match in England, or maybe some people would like to disagree. But Arsenal, for everything being said about them, Arsenal are probably the most difficult team to beat at the moment, just because of how well they defend. It's very difficult to penetrate them. And me, I know from experience, because on the first day, I saw the kind ball we didn't come hold before them. So it's an impressive win for Liverpool. And even though this season so far, Liverpool, many people say they haven't played too well in all their games so far, yet they still have a 100% record. Somehow they still manage to keep winning. So, Fred, how do you feel about this win against Arsenal? Do you think this is a huge statement of intent for you? This is what shows that you are the favorites going into this season.
Oh, no. Please don't put us under pressure. Last season, I tell you people already. Me, I win the league. So me asati last year I win the thing. So right now the anything we go do it be bonus for me. You people, the last year the boys saw the Arsenal guys, PGML or whatever the my name be. Me like I'm telling you, last year I win the thing. I go parade. I go see Van Dijk, Charlie them. They holler me and things. This year it be bonus. You see this year we dey buy killers. So right now we buy some killer attacking midfielder. It'd be like, we won't add my friend Isaku, put the front. Then we buy a kakitikiti too. Then he supplement the thing. So this year, with me, I'd call them transition period. It's a transition period. We're just feeling the game. But if you go slack way, you play the tossing ball like Arsenal they play today, then we'll go win the thing again. It's just that simple. But this year, they do transition. I see we get player, he come from Bundesliga. Actually, the pace of the league be too much for him. So he's getting used to it. Salah is 1 year older. Van Dijk is 1 year older. Alisson, I even forget. And rest in peace to my best friend, Diogo J. Idibab. So this year, a lot has happened, to be honest. And I'm not even joking around. But there has been a lot of change. From the first team from last season to the first team to this season. The whole attack has basically changed, right? So we have gone through a transition of where we had three solid midfielders always in the team. And now we are going to this formation with an attacking midfielder. So there's more space in the team. And most of the players we have bought, even though, fine, I agree, they are very expensive players. Most of them are very young players. So like Kekes is a very young player. Vert is a very young player. Ekakitikiti is also a very young player. So it's going to take a while for them to get used to the league. But the quality there, it did. The way we get some mega mind as a coach, to the guy in tactics, you know, they do one for the bench top. They do one for the training ground. So they teach one of the players better, make the load, so say then go make ready. But if you people slack, where the Isak come, see the Isak right now, The talks they make people all just go beg the Newcastle, say, Charlie, make them just spot it. Because if the Isak come, it'd be like this number, it can make 21, 21, 21. But all jokes aside, Arsenal, Charlie, the team hard on Casa. Hey, where can team cry this? You know, say the people they talk say the 15 goal record which Chelsea gets. I believe Arsenal will break that. Seriously, because the guys know the attack. Then just lock, you see, four centre backs, three DMs. What kind of formation is that? Charlie, we can't, for a team that's supposed to be attacking, how you go if you play four centre backs, three DMs? Then even the way you get a Timberland striker to, for the front there. So that one to be like almost somebody will be like bodyguard. But to be very honest, Arsenal be very solid team. But I think they are also a bit too defensive and too over-reliant on set pieces. To be honest, today they were just basically waiting for a set piece. Anytime they get the ball, Madueke go dribble. Instead of they go watch inside and see say somebody go feed pass, you won't take Wakekes and legs, so see the killers go come. And there was no initiative of them to win the game. I think they were just basically hoping that they could get a one-goal lead and then defend the thing. But the team is saying, they are saying that we won with individual brilliance. But we won with individual brilliance because we're trying to attack. We're trying to attack. So you would see, they are more likely to see individual brilliance when you're attacking more. So to be honest, I'm really, 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 really happy that we got the 3 points because me, I was expecting a draw today. But if you, like I said at the beginning, if you people slack, we go make the 10-21. That'll be your piece.
So you've mentioned a few things I'd like to touch on, but one of the main things I'd like to touch on is Florian Wirtz. And in one of the first episodes after you guys signed him, I remember Van Gelder in particular was saying that the guy be bomb. And I was trying to say, oh, well, Charlie, make we wait more, make we see how things will go. But so far, it's not looking good. I mean, it looks like the pace of the league, the overhand, first of all, the physicality, he just seems to be off pace. So are you beginning to get a little worried about him or his adaptation?
No, I'm not worried at all. Charlie, we get 9 points. What are people saying? We've beaten Bournemouth, one of the most intense teams in the Premier League. We go score Newcastle for the Mahomo. Even more intense. Then right now, we go bring this Catanasio team at Arsenal. Charlie, these are like three very tough games to break into the first. And he's playing 10. And the thing is, you see, like all these teams, then they put like killers for the DM, the Newcastle like this, then put Joe Linton, then just lock the middle. Arsenal, they're, you know, like I said, three DMs, four centre-backs. They lock the middle. So there is always going to be an adaptation period, to be honest. In this time of football where we always go with this trolling and things, we for Babs say players go adapt. In the same way, like they laugh, say, Gyökeres is a Timberland striker and things. But a guy has to adapt to the league. He's come from a different league. When Man City bought David Silva, I don't know whether you remember, it took him almost a whole season before he got used to the league. Because the pace of the league, the strength of the league, it took him a while. Luka Modric, the same thing when he came to Tottenham. His first season was very average. But the thing with Versus, he has come into a team where killers did the other side. So he doesn't need to shine too much. Like Vert, like this, if he didn't mind you right now, like by now we talk say he'd be flop already because he go to lose, then people go to put pressure for him top, then he go to lose. But he has come into a team where it's winning. And today you can even see from the second half that he started controlling the game, started making passes. It'll be Salah way today. I don't know. His first touch makes some dicey. Like, let's get two assists. So you have to be patient, my friend. And one thing I need to add to you guys, you people, they increase the price every day. Last week, I say you say, Ekaketikiti, they earn 300,000. And Vets in price be 150 million. Every day, the price increase. Someday, we are ESL be 175. The thing we buy, 100 million pounds. Chelsea go buy Kaiseru, Shin Kika, 120 million. Nobody, they complain. Or well, how much you buy? 115. Nobody, they complain. Me, I get attacking. Player where they make people stand up. Then you people, they want scrutinize them. As he said today, people, Man U fans, they do Van de Beek, Van de Beek, or whatever that guy is. Van de Beek no get 9.2. He no get 9 points from three games. Van de Beek no come join the champions. So you have to relax for my little boy. But the star boy go show. You relax. You will see him very soon in your matches.
Van Gelder, thoughts on Liverpool versus Arsenal and also on Vets, because you there be like you call this thing, but Mama no understand.
I mean, I tell you Paul, already, the guy with Strasbourg player, make nobody try do like they know they see him. If he did Chelsea, like Moreau with the loan, I'm go Strasbourg straight. The three spots, you know, like he, we go recall somebody, make you go replace that person straight. He go Strasbourg. Make we know they here act like, oh, and he get killers for Massa. Killers see killers go run. You come the league inside. They spend 150 million, they pay you 250,000. There they do like, not be you then they give the money to. He go play the ball. He for play the ball. Where we know there's wedge make you adapt. They know they splash this kind of money. Then with the kind of wedge make you adapt. He be the league for adapt to you. Bro, you'll be record signing. You say make we wedge make you adapt. Killer. What's that? Make it okay. And the Kaisedo in first game for Chelsea cost penalty. Hey! That be when this shin kicker thing started go. To, up to today, even though he's the best midfielder in the league, up to today, they still call him shin kicker because of one game. It'd be cool. Make him move out for there. See, the game today, the first half, left more like a bed. It was really boring. I don't know if it was just KG. I don't know if it was tactical. I don't know if you tell. Everybody get the ball, the second touch or the second pass is a lost possession. I don't know why. Liverpool go get, then go try go. They go take give Strasbourg, then he too will go spot the ball. Then Arsenal will get Declan Rice, no if he pass forward. So he go pass sideways. Then that see Arsenal the Mamefield. Field. They are not brave. They are not brave one bit. And that's gonna be their undoing this season. That Zubimendi, then Rice midfield way, then they their way. If they get ball, instead say then go leave them ahead, play forward pass, or play through their lines. I see say then score them 1-0. And what be the Rice try to do some play through the Amasa, then read the pass long. As he collect the ball, then read the pass. By the time he pass, somebody did the Liverpool player just collect them, they just counter-attack. With the time people say that guy no good. He know the free pass. People say with the lie. But on a more serious note, I think it doesn't matter if the game was won by individual brilliance. Sometimes these games, these very tough, very cagey, very difficult games to play, you do need individual brilliance to unlock something, right? Whether it's a set, if it be okay, this is the Arsenal, they talk about they wanna. If it, you them get corner way, Saka no heads way, you can't give that in loop. Pass way, what mean Gabriel for the back post could go away them score 1-0. Like the go can't tell is a it be individual brilliance. Yeah, so make nobody can talk that. Liverpool take them at 3 points. Them all calm the game. Arsenal for stop this. Every time you see every time they do this, that them are videos that then they lose the game. You don't notice the pattern. Then go PSG, go do the same thing, then slap them like thief when they take calm landing. Today too, then they go. Third match of the season. What business do you have doing videos and to show them whatever? Then go make crazy. They can't do that in things. You know they feel brief. That's why I know they feel run. You know they feel brief. That's why I know they feel run. He didn't run like Sunday in boots inside. Then say right now before call him Jokoto. You know be me Atoku. But I say that be the name where we get. Until say he goes start his score, proper goals. The name be Jokoto. So me, I don't know what to do. Bro, first half, he had two touches. Two. Echo me. What be the what be two for guys and back in your, what be the two?
In your.
Thank you.
In your.
Thank you. Two. I don't know if it be Arsenal, the man.
Oh, is that true?
Bro, they say you get two touches. It don't be me, I talk. God, they like go check. Don't be me, I talk. They say you get two. Okay, tell me two notable actions you do for the first half. If I had two notable actions in the game.
No, I not say you get 17 touches in total in the game. Wait,
bro, so if it be said, the second half, ask them they try attack, you know, where you get more touches. Bro, first half, two. What were his midfielders doing? Then change tactics, take Marino, come inside. I figure maybe you go creep in, do some small. Nothing. I want to shout at somebody that at this side, I can't do. It pain me, but they say Nipaya dia osai. So Bozo, that Bozo guy, right now in gym, be like this summer as you go drink some tea or something. He jaded the Bozo jeans. Right now, he make cool, he make calm. And they see him small. Say this season, today he was Liverpool's best player. And he was playing from right back. He was playing from right back. I remember, I think, the game against Newcastle. Very intense. That'd be the first time I see, say, Harvey Barnes get one-on-one. He did turn around, the pass back. I never see that thing for my life inside, for this league inside. But as he meet that guy, the intensity of his pressing. Oh, he be right back where he put no tell we.
Me, I talked the right back last year. I told
the
right back.
That be position there. That be the right back.
They see the right back.
Vets on your dear. So right back crying to be my number. So he won't for be bench. But that be besides the point. So as he say, the guy, you know, then I think it was one guy I follow, Bromo, where he talks to Charlie. So what's that? Liverpool's best player. They have to them for Javids make it calm the middle. So say Gofi affect the game. He talked that in 2 minutes later, we then get a free kick where he score. But the game itself, on the balance of things, Arsenal, they are a very difficult team to break down. I think we've all known this for if I get 12 defenders, I'll go feel be difficult to break down, basically. So I don't know why we for praise them, say then we go then get plenty of defenders today, then they sign another and nobody defender than they sign.
Yeah.
You spend 1 billion, like bear move by 500 million be defenders. So I'd lie. Like, it be serious, though.
Charlie, they get left back like four. It be serious.
It be serious, but then the claims say then that everybody ready. Liverpool get 9 defenders. Where I say you, if Arsenal people they count, and they can't even they can they don't count them players with them get injury. So say today where this thing hits, what be the Saliba hits? Today where he hits. Then go talk to them, my defenders be 6 because Saliba no D. That be hard, then they count them.
Then they will count all your academy defenders.
They go count all your academy defenders. The people where them top 14 from under 14, they go count all your defenders. Then I go talk to all them, then get 6 because they're my defenders. You know, the ones they hit, they will be my players. So that be hard, then get less defenders past Liverpool, City, Chelsea. See, yes, now who they buy defenders past every summer. If I be betting, man, like every summer, I just go bet Mikel Arteta, 1 center back, 1 left or right back, 1 full back, 1 center back, 1 full back, 1 center back, every summer.
They teach me, say, they don't sell full back too. They sell people who they go fit play center back and right
then
back.
Full back, so then they're saying, how many backs?
No, seriously, then get 4 left backs.
Yeah, if you count them.
If you buy
tell,
the,
but
if
they will tell you, say, MLS will no be left back, though. They will tell you, say, be made for that way, then convert them.
Then okay, so they give you to be left back. They give you
them sell them to Porto. So as they sell them, then for replace them plus 2 players, make you no worry because he good like that. One player know if it either for sign 2, make them a heart calm down. But at the end of the day, this sport, I don't think somebody was Arsenal was good. Like they weren't brilliant, but they played well. But none of the teams played well enough to win the game. I genuinely thought, as at the time they got a free kick, I thought, but they 1-1, I mean, that top front court, if I come back, then you go, if you can take your top, but like Liverpool pick mine, give we already. So, yeah, but I think it wasn't a fascinating game to watch. That one day, I think everybody will agree that it wasn't a great game to watch, but the entertainment value after the goal went through, then Arsenal fans that they complain, oh, we get penalty, they don't take. Oh, handball for here, they don't take. You know, Arsenal, if they start to lose, no, then they go start to blame everybody, then the pitch be too wet. Then they
talk to people beside the ball of a sudden
we come on in the rain. Oh, Mikel Arteta in trousers tear. That'd be why
they know the fit do that. Then I've lost interest in the league.
But at the end of the day, them still go worry. Like, as for the worry, they don't go worry. Like, a lot of teams that don't have the quality of Liverpool. Like, how many teams have free kick tickets like Soboslai? I don't know how many teams. Right?
So, well, the free kick taking is a dying art. You know, just recently, I just learned, say, Bruno scored, like, is it 5 free kicks since he came United in the league. You know, Bruno, they take all your free kicks. So you go, and you go remember at least if I ask you say about Bruno in free kick taking, you go talk say yeah he did try a while.
He
scored
5.
in 5 seasons. So,
but I want to talk about somebody that he did mention today, Mo Salah. There's a stat I saw that's very scary, very spooky. His age is beginning to show. He's had 5 shots in 4 matches since Crystal Palace. 5 shots in 4 matches. But this is somebody that used to average before this season between 3.3 to 4.5 shots per game, per 90. Right now, if they do that same thing in like 5. Simple.
If you did play plus Darwin Nunes, you make wouldn't you know shoot
by hand. Darwin go did that again. Right now, Darwin go did that again.
No, that boy, they tell you, Killers Day right now. So, you
so
see,
because if Killers Day, you know for short.
Mm-hmm.
Today, that boy gets way.
He delegates the shots given up. Speaking of other killers with income, Ekitike. Yeah. I mean, so far he's been very impressive. Everybody can admit that he's been impressive.
I tell you from the start. Say me that boy. I'm not worried about him one bit.
Based on that and his similarities with Isak, you would really need like a 130 million or 140 million striker. And also speaking of Isak too. How do you feel knowing that the whole world has seen the hypocrisy of Liverpool fans now? Because as Isak they go on strike and things to join your team, people make
edge them on.
But Trent just ran down his contracts. That be all good. He just ran out contract.
Listen to me. I said make Trent come out for there. He go tap the bench for that Real Madrid. He go tap bench for England.
He
don't
tap bench. He starts the game. The Spanish media, they try to rile him up. He don't go tap bench. He go play.
So first things about the Isak thing, right? We actually have sold all our strikers. The last
we
season,
won't die.
So he last season, it be Diogo Jota, Wade and Eddie play, then Darwin Nunes, and then Luis Diaz. Luis Diaz go by, and Darwin we carry and go wherever he go. And then Jota, rest in peace to the legend. So, right now, if you did watch the team, we only get one striker. Chiesa
what
is
about
not a striker.
Dance day there. Probably you could tell me for use academy product. Jaden Dance.
You to go use Tyreek George. Why you go call this guy back?
Who?
Why you call him back?
He get contract 2033.
The main thing
is Tyreek.
I agree that you go buy 2 very expensive strikers that, to be honest, you think that both of them are like main characters type of thing. But Charlie, if Isak won't join your team, where you get the opportunity to sign the guy?
You go sign him. You sign him.
That one, there is no argument about it.
So basically, the Florentino Perez move. You see, one star, you see star boy there for camp.
You say he did.
Bro, see.
But the Isak thing, make a talk listening to him talk. Me, I know they support the strike. I know, go like me, the strike hotel, this thing, then they do.
Yeah.
It feels like some diva type behavior. But yeah. Charlie, the way the guy they played about me, if he come, I go take him cool. And Trent, the reason why me a ball plus Trent be say, Trent, they pretend like he won't stay, he did bab. He they pretend like, oh, he did search contract. And not know the guy, they say he make agreement plus room and like 3 years ago. The man go less
Spanish like 10 years ago.
So
if you say they go vacation for Mallorca, you put the make it they go. No, then they go classes.
Exactly. So right now, wait, as the thing come, as the yawa happen, you see, say that they as the time they can't left, they do like it, they cry, make sad. But the guy, you know, say he won't left. He bab. So to me, he behave like snake. That be why Trent they bomb me. So Trent there, he go flop for that Real Madrid. And that Champions League match, we go score them. If we catch them for this day, we go score them again.
We go move for inside. That inside there, nah.
You not say last season, then say this thing will be the rumor with the day last season. You see the Ngomu Hakidi. Then say in clips for training, then they scrub him. Because they say then he did dribble the trends for the training there, but they don't want to show that. Say, I make serious.
You know, say that this player, serious you can't, you when you go pay the compensation.
Where compensation at?
You still want to play? I don't want to pay compensation.
Where you boy get like 10,000?
They sign 30 players.
We take you go court. You know, say we take you go court. We tell you go go do.
So we'll give you some 5 million. You,
we don't want 12.
So you say we hide. Tell you. We they hide all the training videos. So trying to go attack and buy. Yes, I do agree that it's very hypocritical for Liverpool fans to support what Isak is doing, because me, to be honest, I don't support it. But if he come, I'll go. Everybody go forget that because that guy.
When transfer window
easy 20 goals. Easy 20 goals. Tomorrow.
See, I don't go lie. If Isak make mistake, we open the door small like this, bro. We did it. I barely go fly go office. Go take the money. We go carry back plus 120, 130 plus a munchie.
Now you the bomb all you people go buy. You know? Why is that go come your day?
You know the matter. Genuinely.
Man, you listen, this be controversial statement. Genuinely. Man United, they be the coach with Isha. But pound for pound, then my first team be better than your own.
Impossible.
Mind you, that my first team be far more dangerous than this Chelsea. Getting Dilap and things like all bomb. Estevao, they play ball.
You know how I not say this, man. You know how I not say this, man. You 11 no better personnel, bro. They have Dogu in left back or whatever. What be name?
But Cucurella was the difference. Cucurella was the difference.
Master, you know Rascuku.
Even second of this bomb coach right now, Luke Shaw knows the left back again.
Luke Shaw is left back again. Every time he come against you, every day they disrespect Rascu. But every time he catch any winger way, you put the rates be you go left the stadium there, back pocket, or he didn't hear inside somewhere.
You did. Anyway, since we are now on the topic of Chelsea and your signings and all of that. Just yesterday, Chelsea announced the signing of Alejandro Garnacho from Man United. First of all, everybody knows that me, I've been a fan of Garnacho, so it stings me small, but I also understand the circumstances. But for you Chelsea fans, it looks like you guys are not too happy about the signing, because it's like, most of you know the rate I'm like that. So, Vangera, how do you feel about this move?
I can't be bothered. I don't think he massively improves us, which is what I wanted. A player that actually takes us to another level. But for me, my biggest problem with Garnacho is not Garnacho. Is that his brother way, you know fresh, you know?
Robert.
That is, I hope they actually come down in left hand for Manchester. Because from one side, they make I just tell them straight for here. We know they do them Manchester thing. Then go catch you, beat you for town. Wallahi. Then go catch you, beat you for town. So make you know can't try that thing for here, then he did. Then send subliminals, because we know it not be now where we start to handle this guy. We go catch you, beat you for town. If we not beat you, John Terry go beat you for town. So make you know can try. If you don't know, make you go base Enzo say as he can we try to we go catch you, beat you for town. According to all the analysts, then pundits, then the people then know the game inside, then they look at underlying numbers. He's the type of winger you will want. For me, my eye test at the watch for you. I don't think it's a type.
So,
let me just say
that Fred is leaving us at this point. So, Charlie, thank you, Fred, for joining us for this one. Next episode, you will come on.
You can't cause chaos,
then commotion.
just a gentle reminder. And Corey, tell Corey say Charlie today the referee no try that last minute in the penalty. So I sure say that one go make you feel small. Some PGM, well, he didn't lie.
He go ahead and
deliver the penalty.
That one go vex up.
He go ahead for you. Make them come out for there.
Charlie,
we good talk. All right, peace out.
Charlie, but yeah, as I was saying, personally, I'm not a big fan of the signing. Also, 40 million is a lot of money to give to Man United. 25 plus 5 in add-ons, or 30 plus 5 in add-ons. Maybe I accept that. 40 flat. Like, if I be 35 plus 5, I can stomach that. Because I know say the
how
plus 5
you
sell, never go get. But
how much you sell Madueke? How much you sell Mason Mount to us with 1 year left on his contract?
That's absolutely the point I'm making is here. The point you are making is in Newcastle. It's absolutely besides the point. I'm known as a team that can sell. As we did yourself, if you know, be say we for record actually, like we can pocket cool 15 million. You pocket 15 million loan fee before. Can you imagine? But I'm not a big fan of the signing. But since he's here, I'll support him. Me, that's my philosophy. As immediately you put on that, you know, royal blue jersey with the Chelsea badge, you are my player. Nobody go fit talk shit about you again. Nobody go fit move to you again. If my Niger franchise move to him, he go over you. So we there, me a day. Like I'm not ecstatic. I'm not expectant. If he does well, great. I feel like the way I felt when we signed Sancho last year, I didn't really want him, and I'm open to being pleasantly surprised. So yeah, that's how I feel about it. I feel like the money was a lot. 40 million is a lot of money for a player like Garnacho. Buying his baggage and everything is a lot of money, especially knowing that Man United willingly didn't want him there. Right? I think we could have done a better deal. 30 plus 5, 30 plus 10, 15% sell-on clause or something crazy like that. Because you put the sell-on clause self, like you put with food, like you forget more because when you sell more customer from within 2 years, your tunnel so 50 million flat. You put no guess. You don't know people then get then no business do. So what do I know? Anyway. But yeah. That's how I feel about Garnacho. What can I expect though? From a Man United fans perspective, what can I expect?
So yeah, from somebody who has watched every single game of his for Man United, I think when you're rating a player, when you're judging a player, it's not too advisable to judge just the opinion of Man United fans, because Man United fans are very emotional. For Man United fans, because of how frustrated we are with our team at the moment, if you ask about any player, he really shan or he really good. There's hardly any in between. So you go ask about Euro, then go tell you say he's the best young defender in the world. You go ask about maybe Casemiro, then go tell you say he's the worst DM in the world right now. He's old finished. Man, he's past it. But usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. But there's not too much perspective when it comes to these things. So me make our way up the pros and cons with Garnacho. So pros, beginning with that, he's a chance magnet. He knows how to get himself into goal scoring positions. That one, you can't take it away from him. He knows how to get himself into goal scoring positions. He knows how to create chances for himself. So you notice that over the past seasons that he's been our first choice left winger, he's usually the person who averages the most shots per game. Which people will say is a bad thing, but I would say it's a good thing. Because first of all, you need to understand that it's very hard for young players to develop that attribute so early in their career. It's something that usually they develop later. And as for the end product and all of that, you need to understand that like if he was in a better team, he probably wouldn't be starting as many games as he is. So people don't really have, for some reason, they don't have too much sympathy for players being overplayed at such a young age, because you need to understand that, like we're talking about Vets right now, even though it's not exactly the same situation, he's in a team that is doing well. So even if he's not doing well as an individual, if the team is shining, that's fine. But if Liverpool were losing 5 games in a row, right now you see all the pressure, Vets know they do this, Vets know they do that. And it's similar with Garnacho. People know they have sympathy on the fact that like he's a young player who is just, he's still yet to even reach 50% of his potential. So you need to understand that where he is right now, that's not the end product. And if he was in a better team, he would probably be coming on every now and then. So you wouldn't be seeing the negative parts of his game as much. But unfortunately, here we are. So it's one thing that I've even made this point about Højlund and all these other guys before that. Even if they are not good or not, the club didn't set them up to succeed. So yes, Garnacho is a chance magnet. And if he's able to sort out his end product, he's going to easily become like a 20-goal-a-season winger. And that's like in all competitions, not in EPL. Maybe EPL, depending on how, like his ceiling can be very high if he's able to sort out his end product. But even if he's able to just improve a little, because you have to realize that I think last season he scored, was it 12 goals or something in all competitions? And in a very terrible team, that's an impressive return. And you also need to understand that he's the under 21 player in the league who had the most goals and assists. Like, he has some very impressive stats. So I always say that if Man United were the ones going into the market to go and sign a 21-year-old who had the most goals and assists in England, we would not be paying 40 million. Minimum, we'd start from 70 million because see what Ilanga and Madueke and things all they go for. So, like, these are all things that I think people lose sight of them. Like, they don't really rate those things, mainly because he's coming from a team that wasn't playing well and he himself too wasn't playing too well. So those are all things. And also, he's also a player who he's very hardworking. And that's also a very important attribute. He keeps, like, he runs a lot. He puts in his fair share of defending. And that's the main thing that even made him take Rashford's place in the starting lineup. Because I got to a point where they had this narrative about Rashford that he doesn't work hard enough. And Garnacho was the one doing all of that. So that's also another positive thing about him. For the negatives, okay, for another positive thing about him too is that he's a very confident player. And I keep saying that in modern football, the confidence can be more important than the talent. Because I know plenty of players who are not very talented, but because of confidence, they are able to make a name for themselves. For example, Mikel Antonio. If you are judging players based on talent alone, Mikel Antonio is nowhere close to the best strikers in the league. But if you look at the kind of strikers who he's outscored over the past few seasons, you understand that confidence is a very important attribute. So for Garnacho, that's also something that works very well in his favor. He's a very ambitious player. He's a sort of player who thinks that he's a Ballon d'Or level talent. As to whether he is, that one is not for me to say. But the fact that he believes it and is working towards it is also a very important thing, or a very important quality to have, because that type of ambition, it can help push a player beyond themselves. So that's also another good thing. So the negatives, we've already mentioned some. He's very wasteful. Like, for him, he's a chance magnet, but in those chances, he can be very wasteful. But when he's on form too, like, he can put away some chances that you wouldn't expect him to put away. I think, and that's where another thing that is funny about him, because in his first season or two, he was actually very clinical in certain situations. Like, there are certain situations where he's running one-on-one with towards the keeper, and you know that this chance he'd go put him away. But for some reason, this past season or two, this past maybe 18 months or so, suddenly that thing
I'm not surprised. I did see he's played for 3 years or three full seasons for United, right? Saw the stats of those three, and basically most of the attacking matrices, even defensive, all the matrices you want to see going up, he was improving year on year. So goals, let's say this is he go score 6, next year he go score like 10. Yeah. The season he go score 12.
There's always a steady improvement.
There's a steady improvement, but there was also a very steady improvement and even probably a sharp improvement in appearances. And I find that with young players, the more they play, especially when they've not yet sorted out their style, their game, some of these things that they need to work on the training pitch, where if they're playing, say, under 21s, or they were coming off the bench, they were second fiddle or something, they would get the chance to improve upon. All of those things, as they are working on it, when they are now being thrust into the team and being, if you're not a supreme talent like, say, Yamal or Palmer or even someone like Estevao, right? If you're not a supreme talent like that, your output will begin to taper. And I did realize that, or I was listening to Overlap, and they were talking about the fact that United also started depending on Garnacho as their main attacking outlet. Because, what's his name? Hoyland became a coon. They didn't. But
particularly in the last 6 months of last season, because January, we let Anthony go, we let Rashford go. We're left with basically Ahmad, Hoyland, Zexi, and Garnacho. Yeah. Out of all of them, Garnacho is the only ball carrier in that attack. He's the only person who can on the counter, he can carry the ball over a long distance and everything. So he was our only outlet for the attack, because Hoyland is supposed to know how to do this, but his confidence was so short that he couldn't do it. So every time the attack was basically, let Garnacho carry the ball forward and make everybody go join him. So there was a lot of responsibility put on him.
And and for a young player, you can understand why then his attacking output, because the pressure is high, right? One might say, for a player as confident as Garnacho, you expect it to change. But even we see it with players like Palmer. Palmer, I remember at some point last season, when his confidence was really, really short, and they start to force things. Whereas an experienced player like Giroud or somebody would just say, you know what, let me just take my time. Let me take a touch here. Let me wait a moment and just analyze the situation quickly before as a young player, they want to get it done so that they can score, so that they can, you know, get themselves out of that place. And it took Palmer till about April to stop trying to force it. Then he said that just do your thing. The talent is there. I remember, this might be a horrible example, but I remember when Thomas Tuchel was Chelsea manager and Werner wasn't scoring. And I know Werner is probably not the same level of talent, but he has scored a bag of goals in Germany. And Tuchel looks at that as well. And so I remember press conference, they were asking him, are you worried about Werner? He said, no. I had training with him. And we did like just kind of like scoring. And he scored all manner of goals, all types, like long wage, short wing, tapping, header. And so I called him aside and I said, you see, you know how to score goals. All you need is just composure. Just be calm when the ball comes. Take a moment, breathe in. However you do all of that in the 4 seconds before they close you down, do it. And the goals will flow. And I reckon he actually never, whenever he did it that way, like somebody like Jackson, if you give Jackson time to think, same as Sterling, if you give them time to think before they will score, they will miss. If they don't have time, they just have to instinctively, they will score. Do you understand? Garnacho seems
Rashford
like
also has that thing with him.
And Garnacho seems like when he started out, he was quite an intelligent player. Like how we see a player like Ekitike. You give him time, if he thinks, he will score. He might even not be good at the snaps, snapshots or whatever. But when he has time to think and pick a pocket or whatever, he will score. And I think that maybe Garnacho enjoys something like that, where at Chelsea, he's not the main attacking outlet. He's not looked at as somebody that we expect that, hey, if you don't score this match, we may not win. Because if you don't score, Jaapredo will score. If Jaapredo doesn't score, Delap will score. If Delap doesn't score, Esteban will do something crazy. If Esteban doesn't do it, Palmer will do something crazy. Somebody will do something. Even Reece James can create a chance out of nowhere. And Cucurella will pop out of nowhere and head it and win. Jigget. So maybe. And I felt like the environment just got toxic. You know, we realized that him and the coach don't get along for whatever reason, and all of that. It's just a lot. So I hope that, as you said, maybe you will make a calm down more. Hopefully these 2 weeks, he wasn't called up to the Argentinian national team. So he'll have 2 weeks with Enzo Maresca on the training pitch, just training, same as Enzo Fernandez, also not going. All our players actually shouldn't even go for international. They should all just rest, because I let them tire out by 60 minutes. They don't even run again.
Also, another thing I'll say about Garnacho in terms of the cons is that he can be very technically inconsistent, in the sense that this game, you see him, he's getting everything right. He looks like a very good footballer. Another game, he's controlling the ball like a centre-back. Like, it's like he gets this, I don't know whether it's brain freeze or something, where it's like he forgets how to control the ball. So he can make some very rookie mistakes that makes you think that this guy, like, did he just start playing football? He has these moments where it just shocks you that, what did do this guy? He boos over it. So that's also another thing to look out for. It's a very strange thing. One day, he pull off some brilliant stuff. Another game, it's like he's forgotten how to play
same
football.
Same scenario. It's like it's not the same player. And I don't know. Exactly. I think he seems like one of those players that get emotional on the pitch. Like,
probably
the game state gets to him. So let's say he's not having a good day. He may just keep going, getting worse and worse and worse as the game goes on. He'll start making rash decisions and not making the right decision.
And the thing about him too is that he doesn't really lose confidence too, apart from everything. So like, he's not the type of player who, like, for example, Emorata,
he'll stop trying.
Where he goes spoil chance, and you see that, like, you can visibly see that his mood has changed and he's lost motivation. Now, not today, he goes spoil 10 chances, he go keep going on and on. He doesn't lose his confidence. Maybe he might start rushing things more. He might start over trying, but the confidence, he doesn't lose it. So I don't know whether that one can count as a pro or a con.
It'd be porn. whatever that is, bro. But yeah, whatever that is. But at the end of the day, I'm still not a fan, but I'll give him a chance. That's the least I can do, right? I have to see what he does. I can't judge him by what he's done in red. I have to judge him by what he does in blue, which is how I came to the conclusion at the end of last summer that, albeit how good Sancho was, he needed to be returned. He wasn't to the level we need, and so he has to go back. The 40 in India, we go free 40, we go sell him to Arsenal. I mean, then by next season, we won't sell Martinelli. We go just give him, look at the matrices, 52. Oh, Charlie Beta, 52. Then go buy 53 plus 4 million add-on. Then we go move on. So, yeah, I mean, let's see how that goes.
And the last
thing I have a sneaky feeling he's going to score against United, though.
Yeah, he's very much the type of player who, when he's come to face United, he's going to put his everything into trying to prove us wrong.
If he gives me Kevin De Bruyne against Chelsea level output, I'm a happy man. Because, if De Bruyne they play shot against Chelsea, you don't see Kwasia, you don't Kwasia for any
side. You forget a certain level of quality to be able to prove a team wrong consistently, but he's the type of person who is definitely going to try extra hard when he's playing against United just to prove a point. So that one there, and not even just United, I feel like he's the type of person who he's going to go forward with a chip on his shoulder, just trying to prove everybody wrong about him. So it's not even just going to be about United. He's going to just, he doesn't have that Sancho attitude where it's like, what can come. Yeah, he's the type of person who he's going to try to prove people. That's just the type of character he is. So I don't know whether that one too is going to be something that works in your favor. But
The only thing I trust is Enzo Maresca's coaching. That's the only thing I trust in my team. It doesn't matter what the temperament of the player, it doesn't matter who the player is. If Maresca taking out puts his shoulder like this, my heart is calm. He go free change that guy in life. So I'm cool. Yeah.
So speaking of coaching, Man United, it's been yet another topsy-turvy week for Man United, which started with a shocking defeat. It was a draw and then a defeat on penalties to Grimsby Town, fourth-tier Grimsby Town in the Carabao Cup. Is it first round? And like, I don't even know say Carabao Cup.
I don't know say this one. The next season, August. You will start play from June. You will start play qualifiers. Because so, what?
So it seemed at that time, it seemed like the toxicity at Man United had reached the peak. Amorim went into the post-match press conference saying some very
he said me Sepa like, no good, the players too, yeah. They're no good, we all we no good, then go fi sack we all tomorrow. I say, hey, what's going on here, man?
Like, honestly, at that point I was just thinking that, okay, tomorrow this guy is coming to submit his resignation. Because remember that at the end of last season, he actually offered to resign and Jim Ratcliffe didn't accept it. Because somehow, Jim Ratcliffe did not Van Persie the team. So, like, it didn't work out. But after that press conference, I actually thought that, like, the guy, he's a dead man walking. Like, he's just ready to leave. And then this weekend has come. He's beaten Burnley 3-2, which was much harder than it should have been. So now, Man United fans, we know that we can be very easy to please in the sense that if we lose, nah, the guy for goal. If we win, Charlie, I can see some signs that things are not as bad as we make it seem, that kind of thing. So, me, before I say anything, you, from the outside looking in, do you think Amorim is somebody who should be given a chance? And don't say it from the perspective of Asuwe, you know, say the guy shan, so should I want make he continue? So say he go continue shan for a week, then you know, say we never go rest. Like, are they, I know you've probably watched a few of our games this season.
Yeah.
Do you see any positives in Man United's games so far?
No. I personally, and I said this before you signed him. Remember when Chelsea was looking for a coach and his name was floated? And then I was like, what are these people seeing that nobody is seeing? That it's Amorenga. Most people seem to own my IC, but nobody wants to touch him with a 50-foot pole. Some way, somehow, Yupo ended up. Look, and I think the reason why Yupo can't sack him is because, one, you have bought into his philosophy. You have let him come and dictate to you that it's impossible to change formation for it to work. And you've bought players for him. And more importantly, it was Omar Berada that led the search, went to Portugal to bring him himself. So if you sack him, Omar must go too. But this is looking very, very spooky. I mean, for a coach that, first of all, I'm not a fan of coaches that always say, this is how I play and the players must adapt to how I play. That's just a ridiculous thing to say as a coach. You don't deserve the title coach if you can't coach your players to play the way you want them to play, or coach your players in a manner that brings the best out of them. You must do something with the tools you have. Look, if it was Chelsea, well, Chelsea is different, right? We will sign players regardless. But best believe, he won't have any authority to say anything. I want this guy, or I want that type of player, or this. Bro, who we give you is who you use. But United, somehow have let him kind of almost pick. I want that one, I want that one, I want this one, I want this one. And then they try to get it for him. Maybe that's their way of showing support. But there's a thing that nowadays happens with every big club. You as the manager must show us something worth supporting. Then we will give you what you want. And everything from the statistics to the style of play on the field to even the mood of the players and everything tells us that he hasn't done enough to get that, to warrant that level of trust for you to blow over 200 million for him. It's a big problem. It's a really, really, really big problem that United need to look at carefully. Because right now, you've got players that are wedded to his system. Say you sack him today and you go for another coach who to say me to only back for a pair of play. Where would Dogu play? Because Dogu's not...
They sell on a wingers or self-who, so...
Where would Dogu play? You don't have any wingers. Fine, Ahmad can deputize. So will Ahmad go back to left back or what? Do you know what I mean? It's a big problem. And so if you're allowing such a manager to dictate how you play as a team and what transfers you make and what decisions you are selling, he's not just selling your wingers, he's also selling all your academy products. You go, Phoebe said this inside job. It's serious inside. See, but personally, I think he should have been sacked at the end of last season. Honestly. You probably should have gone for Southgate. Let him steady the ship. Then,
hey,
no. Just hear me out. Hear me out. When I say Southgate, I'm not saying Southgate is any good. I'm just saying a temporary manager that would have steadied the ship. And then at the end of the season, you sit down and decide maybe you want to go for Iraola. Because if you really believe in this three-back thing, you should have gone straight to Inter and slapped the money on the floor and say, what was his name? Inzaghi. Pack your bags and go. Come with me.
They don't like inversion.
If it's this guy, they play Portuguese League inversion, they like. League, you know, the future league. Look at all the players and can. Joko too, you know, they work. Me too, you know, they work. Look at this. But at the end of the day, personally, I think you guys are too wedded to him now to sack him. So I don't think he gets sacked. But I don't think it gets any better. Bro, 30 games, 31 points. It's a disgrace. It's a big, 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 big disgrace for a team like Manchester United. It's such a big disgrace. Bro, your players, they play penalty, they hide.
Forget penalty. Corner. With a play corner in the 50th minute, you know if you watch. And as a player sitting on the bench and looking at your coach for inspiration, how do you think you'd feel?
Small Nyash, they shake.
If you're like, you're watching your coach being afraid of a 50th minute. And we're not talking about a Champions League semi-final. We're not talking about the 37th game of the season.
This was Grimsby.
The first game of the season. This first game of the season, second game of the season, you're already looking like you're scared of, like,
some people don't understand. If, think about it like this, for the people that can't understand the vast difference between Manchester United and Grimsby, think about it. If, I know right now they are not good, but if Hasofuku was playing a Colts team, Ghana Division 3, those teams, they are Colts team, they're not even professional, they are Colts. Bro, if you say the keeper that indeed the points are against Man United, in their job, you say they work for fish and chip shop. Bro, like, do you know how crazy that is? That House of Folk go and play a cold team. Then they'll lose on penalties. Bro, they were losing 2-0 for 80 minutes. For 80 minutes, or whatever the time was, they couldn't withstand. In fact, they were denied a third goal that was clear goal. They're still inside people. Hey, and then the penalties, poor quality. Your expensive striker is like number 10. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. And I can't understand whether is it that my fans don't have power, that you guys are tired. Because I can assure you, if this was Chelsea Football Club, bro, we will hand that coach out. If he no resign, then go sack him.
So let me say this is where like different clubs and the different cultures come into play. Because for Chelsea, it's normal for you to sack managers. Your best period in your history came at a time where you were sacking managers like every season or every two seasons.
We know that what is stability? What did the tech stability do?
And also on that point, let me just say that like I think a lot of times fans think that there's one path to success. Like if you want to be successful, you have to build around a particular manager for a long time and you have to play a certain way. But football, like you, if you look around, you see that there are different ways to be successful. You can have one manager for 10 years and be successful. You can have 10 managers in 10 years and be successful. If you look at maybe Fergie's last 20 years, when did Abramovich come to Chelsea? 2003. From 2003 to Fergie's retirement in 2013. That's 10 years. If you compare the number of trophies Chelsea won to the number of trophies Man United won, it's around neck and neck. But they went about things in completely different ways. Yeah. So that one alone should tell you that there are different ways to be successful. You might like it, you might not like it, but it doesn't mean that like if you want to be successful, you have to have one manager for 10 years. In the same way, even style of football, somebody can play possession football and be successful over a period. Somebody can play harangue ball and also be successful over a period. So like there's not one path to success. But unfortunately for Man United, maybe because of the Fergie effect, Man United fans tend to see every manager as the savior. So it's very hard for them to want a manager out. If you notice, a lot of times, even when the pressure on a manager reaches its peak, the pressure is usually from the online fans. The fans in the stadium will be cheering his name and chanting his name. Amorim has won 24% of his Premier League games. But every game, they are singing his name. Ruben Amorim. Like, which other big club would you go and find that the manager has won 24% of his games and they are chanting his name? Like, it's unheard of. Go to Real Madrid, go to Barca, go to Chelsea. Like, it's not going to happen. So that's where different clubs and their different cultures come into play. Because Fergie has put this culture in us where we think that, okay, every manager needs a certain amount of time. And with a certain amount of time, if you're able to get through the difficult times, you are going to find success at the end of the tunnel. But that's not how it works. Like, Fergie was probably a one of, like, it doesn't work like that all the time. So that's just one thing. And somehow, another thing about Man United fans is that we tend to think that it's not possible to hire two or three bad managers in a row. Mm-hmm. So they think that, okay, if I hire this one manager, he no try. I hire the next one, he no try. It means it's not the manager's fault. It be the players or it be something else. But it's like, there are teams that have gone through like four, five, six managers in 5 years or something before they stumbled upon a manager who took them out of all their troubles. Like, if you put Man United fans in Liverpool, by now they're still, they hang on to Roy Hodgson or something. Still they expect, say, oh, one day something will come good. Like, it doesn't occur to them that, okay, if this guy knew the force, we just go fi sack him and bring another person. If that person to do the force, we go fi sack and sack and sack.
Bro,
until we find the right one.
Then tell them, come, then say they no go run Chelsea like Abramovich. Bro, we did our first 3 years. How many managers? Like four.
Otilo. And now look where Chelsea are. So it's like, it's possible. You know the means of the manager's shot. But it is possible to have
it will three, not work. Four it's managers. Possible that it didn't work out. The same
it didn't
way,
work out. It was a bad fit.
And it's the same way. And it doesn't just, it's not just money. It's also players. Man United go sign player. The player no good. We all with the C say he no good. If we Hoyland play where C say you put sign him, you no good right now, you did move him on. Maybe this is a new trend. But for years, United sign a player. The player no good. He go tap there, they chop money. Every coach go come, oh, maybe he's a Van de Beek. How many years he tap United? Then they go take and go loan. Maybe go revive everybody for Everton. We go revive everybody for Newcastle. We go revive everybody for air.
And the longer the player stays, the more his transfer value drops. And then it becomes hard to sell them on top of their big wages. So that's all part of the reason why we are bad sellers.
Yeah. Because if it be Chelsea, they sell this Garnacho guy. Academy player, 21 years old, 100 Premier League appearance. Oh, boy, bro. 7 days. Oh, you better my best friend. Bro. So, like, United's problems are so multidimensional. But, personally, I don't see how his position... Like, this is probably the best time. Sack him now. Then you get 2 weeks. And you break. You go, if you go beg Zidane. You go, if you go convince Iraola. You go, figure, like, I don't know.
Maybe I mentioned the manager I once played times. So,
Xavi, you know, will come that.
Sure.
You know, will come that.
No, did you watch his last interview?
His last interview,
he was talking a lot about the Premier League and he was talking about Man United. He actually mentioned that one of his favorite players in the Premier League is Bruno Fernandes.
It not be true, but then go talk him. That guy is another problem. That guy. He's also another problem. But let's not get into the specifics of players.
We go inside for
a blast. I can't believe you people that they brought 100 million cash, fiscal cash. And you who said he's our captain.
See,
who not say,
see,
Master, if somebody carry 200 million, 150 million come cash, say, then they won't resume. Bro, we go back in since give up more. Hey.
You see, I don't even want to go too much into this thing, but let me just say that. For me, right now, it's been established, like from all the talk that is going around, it's been established that he didn't want to leave now. He wants to give another season to United and then leave next year. So now my question is, what is there to gain from him staying one more year? Because
you are not ruthless enough. Honestly, you are not ruthless enough.
Like, we are not going to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
You are not going to win the Carabao Cup, clearly.
We are not in Europe. We are not in any European competition. Right now, Carabao 2 week, but even... At the time the offer came, we were still in Carabao and everything. So my logic is this. At the time of the offer, we are not in Europe. We are not going to win the Premier League. The only realistic chances of trophies we have are FA Cup and Carabao, as at that time. He has already won those two trophies. So, like, what is there to gain from him staying?
You know, there was genuine belief. Well, my United fans I spoke to here in England. We're all of the opinion that one game a week, we can challenge. You can really challenge.
I feel like a lot of people don't understand. You see, that's another reason why people don't see the seriousness of the Amorim situation. Because I think people downplay how bad of a record a 24% win rate is. Like, I feel like it doesn't really click for them that 24%. I can confidently tell you that...
He win only 24.
If he play 10 games,
he win 2. 2.4.
See, I can confidently tell you that there's no great manager in history who has had a 24% win rate at any club at any point in his career.
Boom.
I can
Joseph, right now, they say chance he never will go 24.
Like, if you have a 24% win rate, the sort of drastic change that is required for you to flip that into even 40% or 45% crap before you go reach 50%. I don't think the people understand the magnitude of the situation. And that's why it's very easy for them to say things like, oh, if we play one game a week, we go fit do this, we go fit. Like, back, we've not won back-to-back league games since this guy arrived. Back-to-back league games. Like, to
let
the
me
extent
know.
That,
let me, let
just,
me just
to use
let me, let me just
new
show
manager
something.
Bounce to win your first two games if you don't fit do.
See, Jose Mourinho, his worst ever as a manager was at Roma, and it was 49%. The Fenerbahce then sack him, he was 60% in his entire coaching career. That's his second best after his Madrid, which was 71%. United, then we say he no good serve, 58%. How can you tell me that your coach has 24% win percentage? He has won 29 matches in 29 matches in 30 games, right? Or he has won 31 points.
29 points. 31
points in 29 matches. And you are telling me this man deserves to stay?
Me. Only Safeway, then the laugh arm say BP teacher. He had a 55% win rate as Man United. So Rangnick, who for me was the worst manager we've ever appointed, regardless of the fact that he was interim, he had a 36% win rate. So, like, people don't realize the depths to which we've sunk. Maybe the run to the Europa final also warped people's idea of
everybody go
fit
cook that run some, bro. See. Everybody go fit cook the ransom. Everybody go fit. Look, at the end of the day, right? A team like Man United need a manager that befits Manchester United. What does that mean? They need a manager that can tactically adapt. That can, like, he'd get one game a week, he go fit tussle. He go fit tussle. Bro, I remember when Chelsea had one game a week, we had Antonio Conte. The first few weeks, you know, source, he try back for, you know, source. Say we go back 13 games unbeaten. Shum, we win the league. Man is the king, Antonio Conte. Simple. You know, people, they talk, oh, you know, when Antonio Conte did it with the back three with Chelsea, one game a week, so Mourinho is about to do it. Bro, they are such vastly different animals. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's not even close. Conte, even player the misplaced pass, he the one pulling wig. He won't Jane wig. Your players get penalty. Even now, match they go on. You set the cones already. Even now, he the play plus your tactics. Nah, bro, you guys have to sack him, man. He has to go. If by now, can you get go see him? What did they call club statement? Mauricio put club statement. What did they call Ruben Amorim?
And with that, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages on Twitter and Instagram is ATWPodcastGCR. On TikTok is After the Whistle. YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast. Also, remember you can subscribe to our Spotify, Apple. It looks like of late we know they promote their Spotify and Apple because they promote their YouTube too much. But yeah, Spotify and Apple. We still did Amazon, did, wherever yes. You find podcasts. We still did those sites. So, yeah, subscribe. Give us 5-star rating if you like. If you don't like, so give me 5-star rating. And interact. Share the comment on the episodes. Like, comment in
the
YouTube section.
Give me 5-star rating.
Leave comments in the YouTube, TikTok comments, Twitter, wherever. Like, just give us feedback. Anything you want to comment on, anything you think we should be talking about, anything you think that we didn't talk about correctly or anything. If you want to fact check us, Charlie, we did. So, yeah. Anyway, Charlie, guys, Vangelda, thank you. Fred has left already, but thanks to Fred too. Hopefully, next week we'll go have a full house similar to what we had last week. So, yeah, Charlie. Once again, thanks for listening. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.